Pray for Mexico. Oh, oh, oh. First time in 29 years I didn't go. Last night I missed out on my taco. If you've been to the Mexico trip, you know there's a fun little song. We make up lines to it, and it's totally spontaneous, and I'm going to miss that. But very excited about our group down there and what they're doing. They're finishing Edgar's house. Edgar and NG, and it's all your fault because all the support and prayers and such. It's a goofy little song. We have fun every night at Fire Circle, but the concept of the song, the line is "Pray for Mexico." And so that's the request every day this week. Please pray for safety, pray for effectiveness, and for God to move and such. There's so many opportunities, and all of them are outside their comfort zone in some way, and some of them need to be. Amen. So let's continue to pray for them, and then we'll look forward to the great report they give us when they come back and all the things that happen and such. And there's always a slideshow, right? So we'll enjoy that. Is it summer yet? I you know, last weekend, you know, not all the schools were out, and we had the funeral service, and but I get to this weekend, I realized like all the kids, all the school districts are out by now, and we're like officially in June. There's, I mean, this weekend is a full June date weekend, so I think it's officially summer. And I just remember that feeling when you get out of school at the end of the year. It was like jailbreak. You know, run for 7-Eleven or whatever. That was like Disneyland for me back then. And very excited about summer and what it holds for us. It's a new season and new opportunities. We have a bunch of different ministries you can find on the website and such, from children's all the way up to, well, I got a couple weddings at least. There's a little one in the end of August or something I think we're going to have a little fun with. But it has made me think a little more about what we're talking about in our series, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And that's good news, because in every season, there's a new path, and there's plenty of ways to wind and bend and turn. As one of my friends used to say, or get twisted up, right? That's not a good thing. And I have been, well, let's just say it this way. When you're a preacher, careful what you preach on, because you're going to get a life lesson in it, right? More than just the passage in the scripture and the Hebrew word and da-da-da. Somehow, I mean, this is how I know God has a sense of humor. Oh, you want to preach on trust in the Lord, Scott? Okay, let's have a little exercise, right? So, I've been thinking about all this stuff in the new seasons and the different things, and what do we trust the Lord in? And I was struck as we were singing the phrase that you just sang, "Invade my heart," and how beautiful that is, and then how just terrible that is. When you invade, you're getting taken over. Welcome to Acknowledge Him? ? It's the title of our sermon this morning. If you get out your outline, look at the top. It says Proverbs chapter 3, 1 through 6. And then the title, Acknowledge Him? ? Because I think it's really a question. It's a command for sure, the way they write it in Proverbs. But I think as a command, we got to ask questions about the command. I was told to do something, and then Dad comes back and says, "Hey, did you do it? How are you doing it?" And so that's what we're going to look at. Last week we talked about in all your ways, the idea of choice and options and such. This morning, I wanted to take a whole morning on just those two words, acknowledge him. We're going to have too much fun. I found some stuff this week that made me chuckle a little bit. I hope you'll enjoy it as well. But depth, too. Depth of meaning. Let's pray, and then we'll jump in. Lord, thank you for this morning, and thank you for your word. We so much want for our team to experience you in Mexico, the promises of your word. And so we just pray for Jan and the whole team, for Edgar, Angie, Dennis, and Debbie and such. Bless them, Lord. Invade their hearts. And then this morning, Lord, invade ours. Stir in me. I pray that our time in your word would get us to ask some more questions and maybe come to some resolutions. May we acknowledge you today, and maybe even more than that. And so bless our time. We trust your spirit to guide us, to honor you. In the name of your precious son, Jesus Christ, amen. 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 Proverbs chapter 3, here we go. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. I know if you're like me at all, it's like, Scott, it's like five, six weeks in a row on two verses, and you're going to read the whole passage, like six verses every single week. You got it. You're going to have to mix it up for me, Scott. You're going to have to mix it up for me. No problem. We are preaching for the first time ever. You're at a first, Rock Bible, first time in the history of our church that we're going to use the NIV. That's it. The pastor's lost it. I'm leaving. No, I don't. I don't feel okay. We're gonna have some fun. I'll explain why in a little bit. Let's go ahead and jump in. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. Keep my commands. Is that a command? Yes. To keep his commands?
Yes.
That's like, kind of said it twice. We're gonna come back to that. When we get to acknowledge him. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Now this, if you have been with us any of the previous weeks, this will feel different, even just those first two verses, right? And let me give you permission, because some people get a little weird about translations. Which one's the right one? And I crack up. People, hey, Scott, what's the best translation? Oh, no, the pressure. How do I answer that? I have the answer for you today. This will calm your soul and give you guidance for the rest of your life. Okay? What is the best translation of the Bible? You ready for it? Any guesses? The one you're reading. Somebody played that trick on me one time, and I was so upset. I want an answer. You know, give me three options at least. The joy of translations is that our scriptures were written in Hebrew and Greek. I know some of you are like, and Aramaic. Okay, great. Read some more of Daniel. And because they were in a different language, we need a translator, right? This is funny because our team's in Mexico, and what are they going to use all week? Translators, right? You and I've had to preach. Oh gosh, never say it that way, Scott. I have had the blessing of preaching in Mexico many times, and what I figured out, doesn't matter what I say. When I'm preaching in Mexico, it matters almost not at all what I say. Why? I mean, if Jose changes it or whatever, I mean, you're at the mercy of the translator, right? That's the negative way to look at it. What's the positive way? Well, Scott, when you say something stupid, they fix it for you, right? What I love about translations of scripture is we're getting interpretations by large groups of people who are highly educated, and they have to pick words. You know, we're going from Greek to English. Which word? Steadfast? Do I use steadfast here, or I what are our other options? They have to make these decisions. I figured out a long time ago I never want to be on one of those teams where you're mincing words all the way through. But translations, here's another thing. Get several that you can reference because it deepens meaning. It gives you more understanding, more clarity. And I mean, if you want to use the greatest trick of all time, just go online. Bible Gateway and some of these other, YouVersion on your phone, there's so many, there's an ESV app, there's so many ways to get any translation of the Bible on your phone at your fingertips. Okay, now here's another one. Some of them, you have to have reception or whatever you call it. Make sure you download at least one version, so no matter where you are, in the middle of nowhere, you can pull up scripture and see what someone else decided to translate his word into, and then see how it helps you. For me, I haven't used the NIV in decades, and I'm honest. I've never preached out of NIV at this church. We're about to have 15 years. Amen. But something this week caught my attention, and I went weird on it. We're going to have some fun. Verse 3, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. We talked about that first week, 5 weeks ago. Then you will win favor and a good name. You will win favor and a good name, verse 4, in the sight of God and man. And it's almost like there's a break there. And notice in the NIV, they put a break there. It's kind of like the preamble, the setup. And then he says, now here's your real command. Right? He said, remember my teaching? Keep my commands? Okay, well, what's your teaching and what's your commands? Verse 5 and 6. I do like how NIV like kind of accentuates it a little bit that way. Because formatting matters, apparently. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Amen? And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge to him. Submit? What's that submit word there? In all your ways, submit to him. Oh, geez, Scott, just became uncomfortable Sunday. You know, put me in submission? Yes, bend the knee. Bow down. Is that a different feeling than in all your ways acknowledge him? Yes. Right? I mean, you can be walking along like, hey, Keith, what's up? I just acknowledged Keith. He feels so much better now. Said his name out loud. Gave him like a half of a second of attention. Acknowledge. Good word. Hey, yeah, that's an interesting concept. Where'd you get that? Oh, Fred gave it to me. Did I just acknowledge Fred? Am I interacting with him? Acknowledge is an interesting word to put there and feels totally different than submit. Yeah, welcome to the deep dive. All right? In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Now you understand, by the way, may the Lord bless the reading of his word, even when it's in the NIV. Amen? now you understand why maybe people would not choose this translation, right? In all your ways, acknowledge him. It sounds so much better, like poetry, less invasive and whatnot. But I think on a morning where we sing, Invade My Heart, we should probably look at the NIV and why is it translated that way? And what's getting lost, right? You've heard this phrase, lost in, right? It happens. And I wanted to Well, let's get into our feelings and we'll have a little fun. Acknowledging him, here we go. Look at this, Proverbs 37:23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. You have that at the top of your outline, right? I love that. I want to get there. I was mentioning it's summer finally and new season, and we have a path that we want straightened and such. Great. Give me the equation to get there. How do I find the answer? Well, know his commands. Let's give one for two on that one. Which one's right? Know or commands? Commands was right. Keep his commands is how you do it. Behind commands, there's purpose. And one of the things that bothers me in my relationship with the Lord sometimes is when I'm missing the purpose for a command. I'm clear on the command, and yet the purpose eludes me, and it's like, well, wait, I want it to make sense. I mean, if I have to, why? I hate have to without why. And God says, hey, keep my commands, trust in the Lord, all your heart, my understanding rather than yours. Here's how you do it. You keep commands. Great, why? So I can know him. So I can know him. What's K and C after the equation? Know his. Ooh, this one, I don't know if you're going to get this one. Because we're at church and I asked a question, and Heitzman's in Mexico. What's the answer? Christ. Know his Christ. Wait, Scott, you have the masculine pronoun in front of the title. How can it be his Christ? Well, think of it in this way. Where do commands come from? They come from Christ, or they come from God the Father? They come from both. But if you had to pick, God the Father, right? It's his Christ, though, that he sent down with his commands for us to get to know. It's his Christ, not just the Christ. It's the Father's Son, the Father's plan. Part of his commands was to be with this guy. I love this because the concept of keeping commands, who did that to perfection? Only once ever in the history of life was Jesus himself. And by the way, there were some rough commands in his straight path. Hey, we're going to do some thorns, some whips, this little crucifixion thing. You're going to have to deal with humans. I love the one line, oh Lord, how long must I suffer with this generation? Jesus said that, right? He's like, can I just do the crucifixion? Because these people are killing me. We get to know God through the keeping of his commandments. And I love that. In fact, verse 1 says it, right? Keep my commandments, right? But then you get to verse 6 in the NASB and the ESV, which is what we usually use here, the ESV. You got both of those versions back there, Nathaniel? In all your ways acknowledge him. There's a disconnect between verse 1 and verse 6 in the other translations. Hey, keep his commands, but then when it gets to in all your ways, just give him a little credit. Right? I love the famous comedian Brian Regan mocking sports athletes after the big win and talking about their opponent and how, well, we give them a lot of credit. It's like, who cares? They lost at that point. Right? If all you ever do is give God credit, you're treating him like a loser. That's kind of a weird thing. I like the NIV because the NIV says, keep his commandments. And then you get down to verse 6, and it says, submit. Love that. I'm reading through my Bible and my verses, and I'm studying this stuff, and I'm like, whoa, why does it say submit in the NIV? That's weird. I start getting out translations, and I'm searching through, acknowledge. Well, that's weird. That's the only one that says submit is the NIV. All right, here we go. We're getting into the Hebrew interlinear. Hold on, Scott. I think I threw up in my mouth just a little bit. I start looking up the word. That word, acknowledge or submit, 942 times in the scriptures for the base word, the root word, right? Well over like 700 of those 900-ish times, like over like 80% of the time, you use in one form. It's not acknowledge. And it's not submit. You can't even find submit anywhere else. It has a bunch of options. There's like 30 options how it's translated. But almost all the time, some form of the word no. No. I'm like, that's weird. In all your ways, know him. Nobody talks like that. But actually, if you translate it with that Hebrew word, yada, and you think about it for a little while, it starts to make sense. Because as I keep his commandments, as I spend time with him, as I meditate on him, as I, oh Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer. When I do those things regularly, I start to know him and understand him better. And then I realize, oh, that's why the commands. This is a relational experience. It's really kind of a test of my interpersonal skills with the Lord. That's fascinating. Knowing to be known, knows he knew, or he knows. And then I really started having fun. Where's the first time this shows up? In the scriptures. Genesis chapter 3. This big no word. For he knows in the day that you eat of it. Who said it? It was the serpent. I love this because if the serpent knows that God knows, then serpent's clear on yada. What does that mean? And the first time it's referenced for the first command. And are we going to submit? It's beautiful. For yada, he says, where am I going? I mean, come on, people. Science fiction. Who's the greatest character of all time in Star Wars? Solves everything. Yoda! Calm all the time. He's like the master Jedi. And when it all falls apart and Dooku's about to kill everybody, here comes little Yoda and his cane hobbling in. And then all of a sudden, he can do all things. And then remembering, wait, George Lucas. He's what?
He's a Jew.
Oh, I was going to say he's brilliant, but he's a Jew too. Huh? Yeah. I find it absolutely significant that he named the most powerful character after the word to know. It's brilliant. It's all throughout scripture. It's everywhere. And how do I know him? I submit to him. I acknowledge him because, let's be honest, I've cheapened the word acknowledge today to try and make my point, but to acknowledge him in every single thing that I do means I'm keeping his commandments and I'm starting to know him. I love that. Absolutely love that. You can tell how much fun this week. It's like, we're going to talk about Star Wars and the serpent, right? So this is kind of where you start, and I'll just reiterate, when you lack purpose behind his commands, when you're confused / frustrated, even disagree with what you think you find in Scripture, do it anyways. We were meant to submit first, and we were meant to understand later. And I think one of the greatest signs of maturity is when you start developing more questions without answers, and then being okay with it. Somebody was explaining to me the concept of non-anxious presence. It's like, wow, that sounds fancy. Does it come with a bow on it? What's this non-anxious presence? To live in the moment. We've heard that phrase, live in the moment. How do you do that? When you stop worrying about potential outcomes or potential options, or maybe just previous in the verse, when you start worrying about all your ways and where the path is going or has been, or if it's turning and where, when you stop worrying about that and you just are in the moment with the people that are around you, which means put the phone down, you can be there. And future will happen when future happens, but you reduce anxiety and you do peace and you do calm and you do patience. You're attentive then to people around you, and you're 100% available. Wow. Well, maybe I do need to get there. And if I need to, how about invade my heart so that I can get to that place? Because I do anxious presence all the time. It's the non that I mess up. What's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with them? What about tomorrow? How are we going to get the house on the market in 2 weeks? All that kind of stuff. And just start taking reality where it is. God presents something in front of you and you go with it. I decided to be non-anxious about it. You're going to miss the first Mexico in 29 years, Scott. You're a terrible, horrible person. No. God had other plans. I can blame him. Right? Or I can acknowledge him. God had other plans. And rather than blame or wrong, within his divine will, no Mexico this year. Instead, you're going to move couches and dressers and beds and do lots of dump runs. Okay. I believe that non-anxious presence is one of the ways we keep his commands. Be anxious for nothing. One of the shorter verses in the Bible, one of the shorter commands in the Bible. And yet, it's one I violate more than almost all. Anxious about everything. We're going to be late. Get over it. Be Gandalf the wizard. Wizards are never late. Neither are they ever early. They always arrive exactly when they intended. Now, if we're talking about God or a wizard, that makes sense. When do you arrive? Exactly when God intended you. Now, try to be on time, but let's not lose sleep over it. And as someone very close to me would say, and don't drive extra fast just to get there to make up time. Right? She might be right. So keep his commands equals know his Christ. Number two, we're doing this know thing. Knowing God in all things. Verse 4. What's verse 4? For the win. You know, in the NIV it says, and you will win favor. You know, in the ESV and the NASB, it says you will find favor. find? What are we on a hunt? Is this Easter egg time? Like, I lost my keys. I got to go find it. No. You want to find something or you want to win something? Win? So much better. I had a pastor who wanted us to never use the word win or success. I think we have different gods. We're supposed to win. I came that you might have life and might have it abundantly. John 10:10, right? The joy of the Lord is my strength. The equation works is what it's saying. Pay attention to his teachings. Keep his commands in all your ways. Submit to him. And guess what? It will work. It works. You know, we go back to Genesis 3. What would have happened? What would have happened if they had submitted? Kept the one command. You know, the violation in Genesis, everybody always talks about, you know, well, they ate the fruit. The one I really hate, they ate the apple. Apple? It says nothing about apples. I go over there, see how many apples grow. But somewhere somebody painted a picture and said it was an apple, right? And that became famous, and even if they get it right, no, they ate the fruit. Hey, they ate the fruit, that was the violation. They got it wrong. Just like they say, oh, it's the woman's fault. I got that wrong too. You know, it's weird, like people read the Bible and get it wrong. Did you know that's possible? The violation is God gave a command and they disobeyed. Whether it was a fruit or don't step on that or make sure you climb this tree four times a day, it wouldn't have mattered. Will you follow instructions? I said, no, we're going to defy you. Defiance is a terrible thing. It leads you on a different path. It gives you new friends. Serpents. Right? And then it yadas all over you. Remember I said yada? That's the Hebrew word. Most of the... to know. And they knew that they were naked. And they yada, they were naked. That's a different form, and the different form isn't yada, but for ease of you understanding what I'm trying to get across is a different form of yada. There's a different ending on it. Don't get into the dots and the tildes of Hebrew with me, okay? We get to know things. And you get to choose. Last week, we talked about there's always a choice. You get to choose what you're going to know. Are you going to know him, or are you going to know other? That's dangerous. Super dangerous. I'd rather win. By the way, what are the two fill-ins? Just the two words. Knowing when. I like that. I want to be knowing when regularly. In my relationships, in my work, in my name it. Right? And I'm desperate for it, mostly because of the Oakland Raiders. Last one, and we're going to spend a little time on this. I don't know if you can get the CO here. It's not chief operating. Okay? In everything, if you're in everything and you're supposed to do something in everything, you're to choose. Now, we said last week you always have options, right? There's lots of options. We got to find the option. And when you find the option, what's the answer? Obedience. Choosing obedience in everything. You know what that is? That's our NIV word. Submit. It's submission, submit. It's submitting. More importantly, when you start choosing obedience to him in everything, what do you begin to know? there's a myriad, an ocean of things out there that he wants to expose to you, clarify for you, free you from, and give you better experiences. That's what winning is. And yet, obedience is this, I don't like that word. It's kind of like submit or wait. Later, I hate that word. Right? Unless it's cancer. Yeah, we'll do cancer later. Okay, yeah, I'm in. But we like to say here, we say, welcome to Rock Bible Church. Right? And then we go and we tell them, but before we go into the Christ Center community, there's a name there. Rock Bible Church. What's the question I get as a pastor of Rock Bible Church? Do they know what a church is? Do they know what a Bible is? What's the question they ask? What's rock? Is Jesus the rock? And he rolls my blues away? I'm so glad we've never sung that song. No. If I were totally honest, it comes from the wise man who built his house on the rock. And Jesus says in that story, he says, let me tell you, every one of you who hears these words of mine and keeps them will be like a man who built his house on the rock. Later it says, everyone who hears these words of mine and fails to keep them or does not keep them, he will be like a fool who built his house on the sand. Of the two different guys, which one gets to hear the words of his? Both. There's only one thing that separates the wise man from the fool. It's the rock and the sand. And in the explanation, there's obedience and there's disobedience. Welcome to Rock Bible Church. It's why we do scripture so much. And it's the only thing I found that works. Is how do I do submission to God Almighty? How do I figure out his plan, where he's going, how I can get involved in it, who I can bring with me? And we'll figure it out and make sense of it later. Obedience. Not scorekeeping. Hey, how many times you been to church this month? Who cares? Stupid question. Yeah? Yes. That's a stupid question. How's your relationship with the Lord? What are you obeying? What are you struggling to obey? Where do you fail to submit? Let's ask those questions. You can miss church for a lot of good reasons. Amen? Amen. I know, I'm looking for them. Joke. And you can go to church for terrible reasons. And they're both true. How do we do God? That's the big question. Verse 6 is where we see it. But then Psalm 37, for any of you who've like loosely paying attention, we've quoted Psalm 37 almost every week. I've been slipping them in there. 1 week it was as the blessing at the end. But we got to look at the idea of submission or obedience in Psalm 37. I think it parallels Proverbs 3 in so many great ways. I want to fly through these. Ready? Shotgun. Give me verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Love that. Verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. Does commit sound like obey? Yeah, it sure does. Verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Love that. Verse 18, the Lord knows the days of the blameless. and their heritage will remain forever. Are you telling me that blameless is possible? Verse 23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, but when he delights in his way. That's the one we put at the top of your outline. 27, turn away from evil and do good, so shall you dwell forever. What a great command, promise. 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. And then 31, the law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. So beautiful. 34, last one. Wait for the Lord and keep his ways. He will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. Thank you for your word, O Lord. Acknowledge him is, it's the lightest way to say it, I think. I think you understand why we picked NIV this week. And I hope you'll see why we probably won't pick NIV again for another 15 years or so. But sometimes you got to hear it different ways. And sometimes you got to hear his commands different ways. Anything that'll help you get to obedience. There are certain things we do not do with our eyes. There are certain things we do not do with our hands. There are certain things we do not do with our feet, with our mind, with our tongue. You can go through Scripture and you can find commands all over the place. Do not use coarse language. Do not spend time here. Do not look on a woman this way. Do not do this with your money. Do not do this with your body. Those are just the get in trouble ones, right? Here's my suggestion to you. Because the easy way to walk out of this one today is to be like, oh, there's all this stuff I got to stop doing and get into obedience. I want to challenge you to walk out of here looking for the positive commands. Pray without ceasing. Trust in the Lord. There's a whole bunch of them. Wait patiently. Honor your father and mother. There's so many great commands that are wonderful. Spend your time on those. What will happen to the negative commands? It's weird. They start disappearing, losing their power, stripped of their allure. It's not that much fun. When you invest in your wife, looking at other women is a. When you start caring about other people, selfish kind of goes. And there's so many other things. When you are generous, greed starts. And there's so many ways to do it. Find the positive. Chase it earnestly. Build your house on it. Amen? If you're here and you've never started that relationship with the Lord and you're starting to be amazed at how God weaves all these things together, like even one Hebrew word, and how it all makes sense, and you finally realize it's time for you to submit to him for salvation, or maybe you want to get baptized. If you want to do either of those things, that's why we're here. Come see me. Come talk to me. Nicole's in the back. Joy's right. You could talk to Joy. In fact, you could talk to almost any person in this room, and we would love to help you. But if you're looking for words to say in your prayer, invade my heart, Lord. I submit to you today as Lord and Savior from now on. Be with me. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thanks for our morning and for your word. Thank you for the fun complexities that we can find in it, and yet the absolute simple truths. They're glaring. Thank you that we reward any time, any attempt to pursue you, and pray that you would help all of us to continue in doing that and find new ways. Show us the joys of your loving commands, your statutes. And then, Lord, show us what you want us to know. We're grateful for all these things, Lord. We pray for the offering we're about to receive. Bless it. Bless this church. And pray that no one feels obligated to give, but recognizes this is what we do as a family, your family. And then, Lord, we thank you for anybody who just joined the family. And help us to support them. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. What are you doing every day this week? Pray for Mexico, right? Okay. He is perfect in all of his ways. May you submit to him and therefore know him more and more. Amen? Go with him.